Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, and we got some graduates in here, and wow, it's a good morning. I find myself this morning, I'm humbled to share with you this step three in this, what a disciple does. And I want to start off by just read the first line that is so eloquently Charlie puts here. Prayer is simply talking to God. Sometimes that's out loud with our voice, and sometimes that's silent in our own mind's ear. And then launches from there. I am reminded that I was the product of a very praying mother, I was just thinking this morning when my mom went home to be with the glory, and I'm praying now for Rebecca's mom, as she's not long for this world, but she spends in the presence of the Lord, that when we were cleaning out my mom's house, Ruth found a little post-it note, you know, little post-it notes that are pre-marked, remember to? And scribbled on that post-it note was, it had printed, remember to, and then she had written in cursive, always to pray. And Ruth said, this is mine. I don't want anything else. This is mine. She took it, she made copies of it, and we have it in little frames all over the house. And when I say I'm the product of a godly mother, a praying woman, when I say prayer, when Charlie says with us prayer is simple, it's simple until you realize you're standing, what we're going to look at this morning, in front of a fire hydrant, and you take the cap off, and you just want to get a little drink. It's simple in that when you look at the fire hydrant, I'll tell you a story about my older brother. He had a ministry down in Beaufort to people who live on the water, travel up down the intercoastal waterway. No land ties, no churches, and literally people would stop in at Beaufort. He'd have a worship service and he had ministry. In fact, not too long ago, he got a call from somebody. He's not even down on the waterfront anymore. He's in the mountains. Who said, we stopped in at a church at Oriental and so forth, but my brother got this bright idea that there was a sailboat that was being donated for a ministry in American Samoa, and it was in San Francisco. And he got the money together to fly to San Francisco. His plan was to sail this sailboat from San Francisco to American Samoa, and two Samaritan boys were flying to San Francisco who were going to go with him on this boat. And he did all the calculations, and he didn't know anything about the boat. And he got out to San Francisco and realized the boat wasn't ready for the water. It was in dry dock. It didn't have any sails. And here two Samaritan Moan boys here come here with no money in their pocket, no place to stay. So for about 2 weeks, he's out there, and he's trying to figure out. He's getting it together, and he's got it in the water. And my mom, no kidding, if she were here right now, she would tell you, my mom started praying, and I tear to testify to you that my mom prayed up a hurricane off the coast of San Francisco. Because after 2 weeks, my brother got on a plane and flew back to Beaufort. The trip didn't happen. It was not in God's plan. So I think of, in honor of moms and praying mothers, I'm the product of that. My brother definitely is, and when she heard a few years ago, I ended up going, I went to Hong Kong to do some undercover teaching, and she about hit the ceiling. Well, that prayer, the Lord said, you're going to go. So I had a chance to go. But I want to just spend some time, we're talking about abiding and what it means by prayer. For you engineers, I know we have some engineers in here, right? We have some who think they are, anyway. And I started to ask you this, but I'm just going to give you some information that kind of set the stage for prayer here this morning before we get into the Word. And most of you probably never thought about this, and my ADD brain just kind of went there. It's like, have you ever, Charlie's about to shake his head at me. Have you ever thought about how much cement is in the launch pad down at Florida for those spaceships to go up to the moon and Mars and Venus? You ever thought about that? How much cement? You probably never thought about that. You know what? I don't think about that stuff either. All I know is, the ships go up and somehow miraculously through the engineering hands, by the grace of God, they come back, right? So I did, Charlie, be proud of me. I did a little search on this, and Charlie's shaking his head at me. I just live to have him shake his head at me. I haven't had Paul do that yet. But here's what the educated idiot boxes in the computer told me. Just those of you just curious, you just want to know that the amount of cement, there are 52,000 cubic meters of concrete, or roughly 60,000 cubic yards of cement. That doesn't mean anything to me until it went on to saying it's equivalent to several thousand suburban driveways or a decent sized skyscraper foundation. That's a lot. That's a lot. I think about the property that we have and trying to develop and realize that, it's like, when are we gonna, prayer is a foundation that is so deep and dense. And here I thought this was rather interesting. Charlie let me know that AI does have a sense of humor. Said, for fun comparison, I'm not reading the whole thing, fun comparison, when SpaceX launched the first full Starship test without a proper flame trench, I don't know what that is, some of you probably know what that is, I guess the trench catch flames, said the engines blasted chunks of reinforced concrete into the air like gravel from a lawnmower. Engineers around the world collectively said, yep, that'll happen. So... I thought you might get a kick out of that. So anyhow, you engineers just kind of put that thought. But the point is, when we look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to call it the model prayer, the true Lord's Prayer. You find, for example, over in John chapter 17, I'll be referencing some of that. But, I pulled out some of my files on prayer, and I've got some folders on prayer because I've just spent my whole ministry. And to those of you, anybody who gives me the secret handshake, I'll give you a copy of this. It's the only one I got. You give me the secret handshake, you get it. But here's some quotes about prayer I just want to share with you. Charles Spurgeon, the old dude, long time gone, you've heard the name at least. I would rather teach one man to pray than to teach 10 men to preach. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You want some good sermons and you want some good ministry to flow out of this fellowship, then you get serious about praying. That foundation. Andrew Murray, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to the world evangelism in history. Wow. Here's some other ones. You do not follow Jesus till you fully follow him through prayer. That kind of gets in my business. Prayer must be taught, not caught. There are no instant prayer warriors. You just don't say, I'm just going to have a deep foundation of prayer. I'm just going to do it. It just doesn't happen that way. It would be like me going up to Paul and say, Paul, I want to play the drums next Sunday. Set them up. And I'm give me both sticks, and I'm ready to go. And he's smiling. He's not going to let me do that, and that's wise. It's wise. It's very wise for him not to let me do that. It just comes with the small steps. It's what I call steps of prayer. You heard that term? Have you got your steps in? Well, we're going to look this morning at the steps from the Lord's Prayer this morning. And there are some basic steps, and I feel like I am standing in front of a fire hydrant directing the flow toward you. And so, and I have kind of put together somewhat of an outline that probably would take me about 3 sermons to preach, and maybe we'll say 30 sermons. How many of you learned the Lord's Prayer? Most of us have. It's not a trite thing. The Lord's Prayer teaches us not merely what to pray, but how to pray. Not just the what, but how to. Let's read together this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, as we look at this, beginning with verse 9. I've got the New King James. You can follow up here. I was supposed to put the ESV and be here, and I didn't get it in here, Charlie. But you got it up there. That's important here. We all know it, right? So you can say it in your own way. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ooh, that kind of gets in you. Doesn't that get stuck with you? It does with me. Now, the first 3 parts of this prayer focuses on God's glory. You know, and I think about His glory, and the last 3 have to do with our needs. Always remember when you're stepping out in prayer is you better remind yourself who you are praying to. Break it down for us here. Our Father. Now, I recognize some of you may not have a positive image of a father role. I recognize that. You know, I was blessed to have a godly man in my life, but I've known numerous people, and I've known some that were just kind of scoundrels there. But when you see verse 9 and realize that you and I have the right to call him Father, that's not a small task. That's not just something to be taken lightly. Before Jesus even tells us to ask for bread and ask for our needs, he leads us into acknowledging who the Father is. And those of you that don't have that kind of positive image, you just ask the Lord to show you. Show me what a true Father is. Reveal to me you, the Father, that I've never had or that I don't know anything about or I'd like to forget about. Just show me. And I'm going to tell you, he'll answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer on steroids because he wants you to know that he is your heavenly Father. First thing Jesus teaches, he says, Father. Yeah, he says, do you realize we have direct access? You don't have to go through Charlie and Paul or Steve or Al or Tom. Just skip that part. You have direct access to him. When we talk about abiding, you got the back door key to slip into the judge's chamber. You don't have to sit in the courtroom out in the gallery. You can walk right past a security guard. You don't need a security guard. You can go right in there. You can hop in his lap. Our Father, my Father. And here's another truth. You and I could never reference him as our Father if it wasn't for Jesus. Think about that. If it wasn't for Jesus, we couldn't address him as Father. Direct access. Prayer begins with relationship. I'm just asking you, what kind of relationship do you have with him? I'll tell you, he desires more from you than at times I desire. Our Father. God is the creator of all, but Father, this term Father, it's a redemptive term. It's reserved for his children through Christ. We have that right and we have that privilege. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says, and I will, he's talking about God, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You never felt like you had a father. There's one who desires to be your heavenly Father, is willing to guide. Whew, wow. We don't approach him as strangers. We don't approach him from a distance in that we have to jump through certain hoops. I love that. I would just, as I chase some rabbits, Charlie said, I'm going to follow you. I know you bounce around. Yeah, I bounce around. I would tell you that if any of you hunger for that kind of prayer relationship, ask God to bring somebody in your life you can pray with. Put yourself in the position where maybe get here early on Sunday morning and go sit with Al and Clark and James and Quentin and those who get here, and just, even if you feel intimidated, it's a little scary, just be around these folks who've just devoted their whole life at growing in prayer. I have a chair in my house that is very dear to me. I don't have a recliner. I've had recliners before. It's a wing-back chair. It sits in the corner where I always sit. And it's my prayer chair, not because I do a lot of praying in that chair. It's because I had a prayer warrior in my life that every time I would go eat with he and his wife, he would sit me in that chair and he would lay hands on me and pray over me. And when the man went into a nursing home, that chair went with him. And I asked his son, I said, if you ever get rid of that chair, I want to buy it. And he said, well, when the Lord takes him, I'll see that you get it. Next thing I know, it's been a while since his dad had went home to be with the Lord. He went and had that chair reupholstered for me. And the guy that reupholstered the chair told him, he said, you don't understand what kind of chair that is. Never sell that chair. You have no idea what kind of quality is that chair. That's not a piece of junk. Well, he didn't have to tell me that. It's quality because an old man by the name of Jim Wallace would pray over me on my lowest point in my life in ministry, would lay hands on me and pray over me. That's the kind of abiding that, and you say, you know, I want to pray more, but I don't know how to do that. You spend time with people like that. Spend time with people like that. If you don't know who they are, God will bring them to you. He'll show you. But you have to be looking. You've got to be watching, and you've got to be prepared for that. I like Mark chapter 14, verse 36, which talks about the intimacy. Jesus, this is a prayer of Jesus. Mark 14, 36, I've got up here, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remember this cup from me. Remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Now, maybe you might be familiar with that deep study of that word Abba. You might not be. But this is so encouraging to me because when I see Jesus, that word Abba literally means daddy. It's that kind of relationship that Jesus had with the Father that he desires for us to have with him. Direct access. I challenge you, if you're not spending time with him, even if it's just 5 minutes or 5 seconds, say, I want to spend time with you. And then when you get in front of that fire hydrant and a little trickle starts coming and you want a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you're just knocked off your blessed assurance. At least that's how it is with me. It may not be with you. Abba is a term of closeness and affection, and it expresses nearness of the child. And again, I recognize that some of you may not have that kind of relationship with your earthly father, but that's the desire of the heavenly father for you and each and every one of us. And when you start abiding, that's what you have. Now, sometimes for me, and I get a little, I know you find it hard to believe, that I get a little unruly, he thumps me on the ear. What was it, the NCIS Denozo? It's that. It's like, redirect here. You teachers know that. I have to redirect, right? That's what he does. That's what comes with the abiding part. This Our Father, it speaks of closeness. And it also, Our Father where is he? In heaven. Wow. He's near enough to hear us, but he's sovereign enough to answer us. Our Father who art in heaven. Near enough to hear us, sovereign enough to do something. In case you didn't realize, we're pilgrims in a temporary land. This is temporary. Everything you got's temporary. I say quite a bit, Ruth and I made this comment, we're in the midst of cleaning her father's house out since he's gone home to be with the Lord. We both recognize, and she shared the other day with someone, everything you have, you find to be so precious on this earth is going to end up in the garbage heap one day. Think about it. Except maybe a little post-it note that says, remember to always pray. Our Father in heaven speaks of authority. Remember what Jesus said? I go and prepare a place for you. Oh, wow. A father desires his children to be with him. A good father. And he is the good heavenly father. It's not just a matter of distance. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. What does that mean, hallowed? Remember who you're talking to. I'm still learning. I recently, I used to in my prayers, I would say, Lord, you have to. And I got the Lord convicted me of, like, I don't have to do anything. I've already done it all. That was one of those, he doesn't have to do. Remember who you're talking to. Remember who you have access to. He is the God of all creation. I've been watching on YouTube all the pictures of Mars and Venus that, you know, somehow, you know, I'm sure it's all manufactured, but just kidding. I have an uncle who was a NASA engineer, NC State grad, and, you know, he. But I've been fascinated with the pictures. You know what they all have in common? Rocks. And you know, and see this picture of this metal arm. It's like, it's boring down. It's going to get a sample of Mars. I'm like, okay. It's like, I'm going to go down over here to the beach and I'm going to dig a hole and pull up some sand. Who put it there? Who put it there? He's bigger than we are. Remember who you're talking to. Wow. Your kingdom come. It's an imperative term. Your kingdom come. It's let your kingdom come. It's true change. It begins with when the heart changes. A miracle from God. How he changes our hearts. And it requires us to spend time with him. He desires for us to spend time with him. And how long should we pray? We keep praying until he returns. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. It says, "For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The kingdom of God is absent in a lot of hearts and people, and that's why we're here. We're here so that we can, talking about discipling and drawing somebody, say, let me, you know, I hunger and thirst to be with those people who pray. I just want to be with them. You know, I've had some prayer warriors in my life, some that they're not preachers, but I've had some that I think of one right now, dear friend of Ruth and I, that she's a retired school teacher, assistant school teacher. She just had heart surgery just a couple of weeks ago. We went to visit with her, and she started telling us, she said, when the doctor came in and the prep to do the surgery, and she said, "You're not touching me until I pray." Everybody was in that room. The doctor, the doctor's assistant, everybody was in that room. They held hands, and she prayed. She didn't pray necessarily for herself. She prayed for that doctor. She prayed for all the staff, and she said, "I made no apologies about it." I know right now that if I wanted somebody to pray with, I could call this woman up. I want to be in her company. But I'll tell you something else. The same kind of passion she has for prayer is the same kind of passion the Lord wants to give to you. That he'll draw people to you and say, "Would you pray with me?" I kind of praying on their coattails. There's prayer coattails. I've had some that have gone home to be with the Lord that have just been kind of my mentors and my prayer warriors. Some are pastors and some are just average people who just, when they said, "Good morning, Lord." That's how my dad would open up in prayer. Say, "Good morning, Lord." That's abiding. Okay. I'm still drinking from the fire hydrant. I don't want to get too. When you pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," what he's leading us is saying is, not your kingdom, but his kingdom. Remember what Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but what? Your will be done." Whew. I remember my brother wanted to sail that old rotten sailboat from San Francisco to American Samoa. And the power wasn't in my mother's prayer, but the power was, I think the good Lord said, "The boy's lost his mind." Lessons for that. Let's go to step two. We pray this prayer sincerely. And we just say, we're asking for his kingdom to rule over every kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're saying, what you're saying is, and you just focus on this, say, "Lord, everything is accomplished already in heaven. I'm not there yet, but I'm also in your presence. Would you let your will be accomplished here just like it is there? Not my will, but your will." That's why I've come to the conclusion it doesn't matter who is in D.C. It doesn't matter. I don't get hung up in that. It does not matter who they are. I know who's in control. I know who I can trust, and I know who I shouldn't trust. And if you got your faith and you got your trust in anything, in anyone else other than the Heavenly Father, you're going to be really disappointed. Your will be done. Completely. Immediately. Continually. I find myself quite often, more than I want to count, I want the Lord to bless my plan instead of His plan. Anybody relate to that? Jesus had that. Remember, He said, I don't want this cup that's coming in front of me. I don't want this, but not my will, but your will. So if Jesus can struggle with that, don't you think we can? I know so. Prayer is not bending God's will. It is surrendering to His will. Let me just say that again. It's not bending His will, it's surrendering to His will. Surrender, submission. So when we pray, and you pray sincerely, you're asking God's kingdom to rule over every kingdom, including your own. And we all have them, right? If you say, oh, I don't have a kingdom, yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you don't believe me, you just ask the Lord to show you. He'll show you what's important to you. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And what does it say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. And I find that most people don't mind having Jesus as a Savior, but they definitely don't want to honor Him as King. I want the good stuff. I want the privileges. But I don't think I want to go that far. As the old saying is, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all for us. Okay. Now we get to the basic needs, step 3. Verses 11 through 15. You got the, give us our buffet. Right? You got the bread. You have, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you know what? It must have been really important for Jesus to add on after that prayer and say, those you forgive, you're going to be forgiven. That must have been a double-edged sword there, because he'd already talked about, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then you get down to verse 15, 16, and it says, to the extent that you're willing to forgive, you will be forgiven. I think that's a problem. I know it is a problem. Jesus, He teaches us that priorities start with God. And it ends with God. It starts with Him and it ends with Him. I believe that's just, to me, so vitally important here. He teaches moderation. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow, not next week. Anybody here worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? We're not there yet. He is. Had that conversation sort of this week with my daughter's boyfriend. He said, didn't it say, with God, all things are possible? And he came up with some outlandish things. And I said, well, it didn't say with Joey all things are possible. It said with God all things are possible. It doesn't say with Steve or Paul or Charlie or Tom. It says, with God, all things are possible. Not all things are possible with me. Trust me, it doesn't work. He's into the present needs. He teaches us moderation. Scripture says, take no thought for tomorrow. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. It also expresses trust. Are we in the position where we're trusting Him? Well, when you start praying that, you say, Lord, I need to trust you more, that's a scary prayer, because He puts you in a place where it scares the blessed assurance out of you. That's good preacher talk. Give us this day our daily bread. Moderation. It's also a reminder to me that it's a gift from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect good gift is from above. Oh, wow. Forgiveness, past needs. He says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. I've been bouncing around. I'm sorry, Charlie. I'll pay you off later. Forgiven people must forgive people. Let me say that again. Forgiven people must become forgiving people. And didn't Jesus model that on the cross for us? Think about that, hanging on the cross. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't look at me as a model. I look at Jesus. And here's something I would add here. An unforgiving spirit reveals spiritual problems. Let me tell you how I'm praying for us. I'm praying that there be no unforgiving spirit. There's no room for that in my life, and there's no room for it in your life. If you've got that you want to just hold on to that, and you just want to nurture it like I would, you know, you ladies probably don't deal with this, but you like you get a hangnail, and you just want to just keep irritating that rascal when the best thing to do is just cut it and move on. You ladies don't know what I'm talking about, but as guys, we do that sort of thing. At least I do. Yeah. There's no room for that. Because it only hurts you. It's like a cancer. It just eats away at you. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It just eats away at you. Yeah. Yeah, he gets in your business. Our past needs, forgive us. He's forgiven us. Jesus modeled it on the cross. An unforgiving spirit just hinders everything that God wants for you. And then he talks about deliverance, future needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think a good paraphrase of this might be, Father, because we're weak, do not allow us to enter situations where temptation would overcome us, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. As I kind of wrap up this morning, are you willing to surrender everything? Everything that's precious, everything that is not so much precious but is your priority, your goals, your objectives. And I would tell you, and I'm learning this, I haven't learned it yet. That I've asked the Lord to just do a check in me that every time I want to do this and hold it back, for Him to kind of do a gentle and say, it's submission, surrender. Can I surrender my wife? Can I surrender my children? Can I surrender my prodigal? Can I surrender my bank account? Can I surrender my life goals that I had planned out, that I've planned out for the last 5 years that I've been working? Can I surrender that to, Lord, to say, Lord, you do what you want to with it. You can throw it in the dumpster or you can bless it. I don't care what you do. That's what he's asking for right now. And say, well, that's like Jesus looking at the rich young ruler. You know, go sell everything and then follow me. Wow. Well, I think we heard a sermon on that. Yeah. Okay, I'll save that for another. So as I draw it to a close this morning, the Lord's Prayer begins with God and it ends with God. His kingdom, his name, his kingdom, his will, his provision, his forgiveness, and his deliverance. And in the end, all glory belongs to him. You've heard me say, when you've heard me preach, and I've said this everywhere I preach, anybody says, that was a really good sermon. I say, God gets the credit for the good ones. I take credit for all the bombs. I don't want to get in the way. You know, it's the Lord. And I would tell you this morning, what I've shared with you is not everything that I had on my outline. But I also would share with you, it is from my heart and the desire for his desire for us to be abiding with him and in him and through him in every aspect of our life is something, nothing short of what his passion is for us and for the lost. He loves you. And he loves you enough not to allow you to stay where you are. And I'll just say to you, you can trust him. Let me pray for us now. Lord, I know there's every sort of emotion in this room right now. And I can make a list, but you know every need, every desire, every burden, every joy, every expectation that we lay out, and those things that we are not even willing to reveal to you, you already know. But Father, I pray, would you take your word, this model that you set for the disciples, that you've laid out for us. And may we not look at it like a good luck charm or just something to do, but may we look at your word as an introduction to a deeper foundation that no fire, no rocket, no torch, no anything can shake it, can tear it apart. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you said you will do, and you are doing. And even so, Lord, touch some hearts this morning and let no one leave this room unchanged. If there's someone who has any doubt about their salvation, about where they're going to spend eternity, let it be settled right now. Let them come to me or to any of the other pastors, Paul or Charlie or Lord, just let it be settled. That if there's anything that's not settled in your saints' hearts this morning and they just want someone to pray with them, that they would go to some of the prayer warriors and say, I don't want answers, I just want prayer. Let this room be bathed in prayer. Let this church be bathed in prayer. Let its future be bathed in prayer. Let its foundation be so deep and dug and laid in the foundation of your perfect will, your direction. Your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.